What would a movie be like without the visuals? That's an audio drama, a story told without visuals. Audio dramas are like movies for the ears, in which the stories are told exclusively by the dialogue of the characters, sound effects, and in some instances, narrators. From the writing of the script to the recording and directing of the actors, and to the post-production, the creation of an audio drama is an interesting process to follow that we'll learn about more from today's interviewees. Audio dramas were first popularized shortly after the commercialization of radios in the early 20th century, but their popularity didn't last long. Soon, television took over the entertainment industry. With modern technology, however, audio dramas have come back in the 21st century. Now, many online podcasts produce audio entertainment consistently. This has allowed for audio drama to become somewhat more publicly known. However, it still doesn't get the recognition it deserves. In addition to podcast audio dramas, radio dramas still exist. In the UK, the BBC produces audio dramas, some of which air on the radio daily in episodic series. I was fortunate enough to be able to speak to Nathan Hubler, writer for the Focus on the Family-created audio drama Adventures in Odyssey, about the Odyssey team's writing process.
Hi, this is Nathan Hubler, and I'm recording my voice here to talk a bit about audio drama.
Thanks for agreeing to talk to me about audio drama. My first question is about writing. How do you go about writing an audio drama?
Well, the most important thing in writing an audio drama, I believe, is the same as writing anything, which is to have a good story. If you don't have a good story, then you won't have a good audio drama. And it's the same for a movie or a book or a TV show. You have to have a good story first. Some stories probably lend themselves, not even probably, some stories do lend themselves more to audio drama than they do to film or a book. But again, the most important thing is a good story.
What does the writing process look like for Adventures in Odyssey specifically?
For Adventures in Odyssey, we have a very collaborative process for writing. So our writers will submit an idea, might call it a pitch or a log line, which is just a few paragraphs of what they feel like they want to pursue as a story. They pitch that to the team, so they present it to the team. We talk about it. We actually just did a week of these last week where we were talking about our ideas for the next year. Each team member presented some ideas. Other team members gave their thoughts, and then the writer made adjustments. Some of the pitches we pursued, some of them we didn't. Next step would be writing an outline, and that would be saying something like, scene one, Wit's End. Connie comes into Wit's End and tells Wit something exciting. And obviously more detailed than that, but you go scene by scene, say what your story is going to be, and then again, that goes to the team for notes, thoughts, suggestions, changes. And then from there, goes back to the writer, and they write a first draft, goes to the team for notes, they write a second draft, might go to the team for notes or might go to just a few key team members. And then occasionally there's a third draft, and then there's also a polish after that point where the last changes are made. Sometimes that involves the sound designers when we're talking about things that have to do with sound design, maybe some production elements or anything involving something that would be difficult with post-production, sound effects and so on. So again, very collaborative process. That's very oversimplified, but that is our basic process for writing an audio drama. That process could take anywhere from, probably at the extreme, probably about a couple of weeks. That's unusual. More likely it takes a couple of months to get from a pitch all the way through to a final recording script.
After hearing those great insights into the writing process from Nathan Hubler, I got a chance to hear the thoughts from a fan of Adventures in Odyssey, Austin Peachy. How do you go about writing a script for an audio drama, and how is it different from writing for other mediums?
Well, first off, I think you want to know what the story is, whether it's an original story or an adaptation. You want to make sure you know the story well. Because once you know the story, you'll have a better idea of how to script it, you'll have a better idea of how to word things, and to organize stuff. how is it different than writing for other mediums? It's similar to writing for video. In video, you put down like what the scene is going to be showing, direction, sound effects, things of that nature. With audio and audio dramas, you do want direction, you will describe scenes, but there's not going to be any visual component. So let's say, for example, the camera shows a green field with yellow buttercups, a deep blue sky, gray clouds on the horizon, but white clouds up close. Those are kind of direction that you wouldn't really use for an audio drama. Now, if you want to show people what is in that scene in an audio drama without, you know, showing it because you don't have the visual aspect of it, you'd have like a narrator or storyteller say something about the flowers, like what color they are and all that. Or you may work into the dialogue where, and hopefully it's natural, but if you do have it in the dialogue, to make it natural sounding. Audio and video scripts are pretty similar, except for video, you're very focused on what the audience sees. With audio, you're focused on what the audience is supposed to hear.
Next, Dave Arnold, executive producer for Adventures in Odyssey, answered some of my questions about writing for audio drama. How do you go about writing a script for an audio drama like Adventures in Odyssey?
Our team, fortunately, knows the world of Odyssey really well. They also know the characters of Odyssey very well as well. So that helps, obviously. Knowing the kinds of stories that we tell, knowing the stories we have told, that allows them to pitch to us, you know, new ideas. And the process for writing is very collaborative in our team. The writer who has ideas will pitch them to the team, and then we sort of talk about them and improve them. And sometimes we'll just say, you know what, I don't really care for that idea, and let's move forward. But if we move forward, then sometimes research has to happen, you know, to find out whether the story beats and all the plot is realistic and possible. And then they will go into a first outline. Sometimes that means, you know, we'll do a second outline because the team will basically critique every step along the way from outline to first draft to second draft. And then usually at the very end of it, we do a polish on staff, whether that's the showrunner, who is Marshall Younger, or myself as the executive producer. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. You know, I think the best writers are readers, too, and they've done a lot of reading, and they find people that they like their writing style, and then they just develop their own voice and bring their talents and skills into the world of Odyssey and to the characters of Odyssey.
Last but not least, I got to talk to Kevin McCurry, creator of the Ceiling Fan audio drama podcast and editor of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. How did you go about writing a script for your audio drama, The Ceiling Fan, and how is it different from writing for other mediums?
I would say writing a script for audio drama is pretty similar to writing for, say, like a movie or especially like animation. The difference is, which what I like to do is I like to write an outline. That way I get a general idea of what my story beats are, what my characters are, the moments of emotion, the moments of like how my audience will be thinking and feeling at particular beats in the story. And I can kind of get a bird's eye view of what the story is going to be. And then I kind of zoom in and write out the actual scenes for within that outline. But when scripting an audio drama, it's very similar. You can format it the same way as you would a screenplay. The difference, of course, comes in the detail. Because when you're writing, say, for a book, you have the ability to just say what it is that is going on. You know, Susie and Jimmy walked into the library. Jimmy said, "Wow, I'm so glad we're here." And "I'm glad we're here too," said Sally. You know, it's you have the ability, the narrative voice, to explain every single little tiny detail to your audience. Which is great. You can't do that with an audio drama or with a movie. But with a movie, you have the ability to, you know, you don't have to say, hey, we're in a library, because the character, the viewer can just look at the screen and see, oh, that's a library. I can tell. You don't have to. It would be weird if the characters were like, here we are in this library right now, as you can see. Though it is weird for them to say that kind of thing in an audio drama, too. But you have to have some sort of way that the characters communicate to the audience that they are in a particular location and that a certain thing is going on, and that they visualize, create writing your scripts in a way that the listener can visualize what's going on without making it feel uncomfortable. So, you know, you have to have exposition, but you have to hide that within natural dialogue. So you wouldn't have like Jimmy and Sally in the same way. Like Jimmy and Sally are like, wow, here we are in this library. That's neat. You can have something, I don't know, like Jimmy says to Sally, like, we need to find a book. And Sally's like, well, where are we going to find a book? And Jimmy's like, what? We're in a library. We're surrounded by books. Or you could have Jimmy and Sally in an earlier scene, and Jimmy says, like, all right, I'll meet you in the library at 8. And Sally's like, okay, I'll be there. And then it cuts to the next scene, and they're like, I thought you were going to meet me here at 8. All right, I'm sorry, I got caught up. You know, and then the audience is aware that, oh, we're in a library because they said that's where they're going to meet, and so they've met there. You know, those aren't perfect examples, but those are examples of kind of more natural conversation informing the audience as to what's going on and where they're at. You also have ambient sounds. You know, if you think of the famed audio drama Adventures in Odyssey, they have particular sounds. Like Wit's End always has the same door opening, and so you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's Wit's End. They have a similar ambient background noises and that sort of thing. So you're kind of like, okay, this is the location, but it doesn't, you can't depend on that always, because like Adventures in Odyssey, you kind of have, you know, a history there.
Once the writers have written and edited the script, the audio drama must be recorded. Throughout the recording, the work of talented individuals is needed. Perhaps most notably, the actors contribute immensely. Let's talk to Austin Peachy and Dave Arnold about acting for audio drama. How do you portray everything needed in acting with only your voice? For example, your character's emotions.
Now, I'm not a good actor. I don't claim to be a good actor. It's fun to do. But for me, you want to make sure that you know the character, you know the story, and you also want to know what the director wants from you, and you got to kind of get in the character's head.
Well, again, that just takes skill. I've worked with a lot of very skilled actors who we remark to them afterwards, you've done so much more with that scene or this show than we ever expected when we wrote it. And the actors usually will say something along the lines of, well, that's why we do what we do, because we want to lift emotions, even things that, you know, we bring into the project above what the expectations of a director would be. So it just takes skill. It takes knowing how to lift your voice. It takes knowing how to present things, where to hesitate, where to, you know, for comedy, timing is really important, and pacing is really important in a scene. And, you know, if you've got an action scene, energy and volume, and there's so many things you can do, tricks you can do with your voice that, you know, an actor knows how to do that. They're very skilled. This is what they practice. This is what they do all the time. Even if they're in a movie, they still need to use their voice in a way that conveys emotion. Otherwise, they sound very monotone and boring.
However, no matter how talented the actors are, they still need at least some direction. Let's bring Nathan Hubler in for the discussion on directing actors. How do you go about directing actors in the studio?
Probably one of the most important things to remember when you're directing actors for an audio drama is that they are contributors to the process as well. So even though the person directing the script is often, not always, but often the same person who wrote the script, and so they already have a vision for the story, the actors are contributing to the story too. So they're certainly bringing their skills, their sensibilities, their ideas to the script as well. Usually the lines don't end up changing a lot, but in terms of their inflection and how they interpret the lines, that has a lot to do with shaping the story. So they are a big part of creating that episode. So in terms of how to direct actors, a big part of it is knowing what's important to the actors, knowing those characters, because the actors certainly know their characters well if they're established characters, but knowing how to communicate with them about their characters and communicating it to them in a way that makes them certainly feel like you value what they're bringing to the show, because what they do bring to the show is huge. So that would be the first thought that I'd have on directing. If you want to get into the more technical aspects of it, for Odyssey, we record a whole show that you hear that's 25 minutes when it's completed. We record that whole show in about 4 hours. 4 hours sounds like a long time, but when you're in the studio with actors and trying to keep the whole thing moving, 4 hours goes by very quickly. So we're moving pretty fast to record a show in 4 hours. We usually do about 3 takes, meaning that we read through the scene about 3 times, and then we go back and do pickups. So there might be one section we might say, you know, lines 167 to 170, let's go through that faster, or let's make this funnier, or let's change the timing here, or what Connie or Eugene is really thinking here is this. And so we'll go through and do pickups. So again, that's all in about 4 hours, and you're moving pretty fast to get all that done in 4 hours. Another thing that's unique to Odyssey is that we generally, this last year is an exception, but we generally have all the actors in the room at the same time. So if you hear a scene with Whit, Connie, Eugene, and Wooten, they are all in the room at the same time. Those actors, I should say, are all in the room at the same time.
Well, I haven't directed a whole lot of people, and when I have directed, it's usually as recordings. I know a lot of times directors will direct actors in person or over Skype or something like that. They'll hear the actor and make comments on it, give them some feedback on stuff. Now, if you don't have that capability, a lot of times for me, what I've done is record myself speaking the lines a certain way and giving a little bit of direction here and there and then sending that to the actors so they have an idea of how to work it. And if there's anything that needs to be redone later, I can, you know, re-record something or just give them some notes on it. You also want to make sure that you know the story very well. Whether you wrote the script or not, you want to make sure that you're telling the story that's on the script in the best way possible. So, knowing the script, knowing the story, knowing what the writer intended, those are very important things.
I think a really good way of knowing how to direct an actor is, first of all, obviously, to know the material very well. You've got to know exactly what the scene needs to accomplish, what each line needs to accomplish, and you've got to be able to articulate that really well. It helps, I think, as well, if you've done some acting, because then you know how to speak their language and you understand the emotional needs of an actor. And it's just being a good communicator at that point, listening to them, taking notes on the script as they read through it, and then going over the thoughts with them and making sure that they understand the concepts you're trying to hit and where the character is in the arc of the story.
Directing actors is interesting. I think audio drama is most similar to animation. So if you're doing an audio drama, obviously, like at least animation up until the point that you start animating, directing actors is something that you have to be careful of depending on the experience of the actors themselves. Because some actors, if they're more experienced, you want to use a little more I guess, vague, flowery, general tone direction. Where if you have, like, more inexperienced actors, then you have to, you know, maybe be a little more specific as to what you want. You know, line read, so to speak, where you read the line exactly the way you want it to be read, and then they can repeat after you. But that's really something that you want to, if you can, you want to avoid that, just because you really want your actors to be able to bring their own interpretation of the character to the role. Because when you do, when you're a single person writing, you know, not, you know, in terms of marriage or anything, but when you're a person, you're the only person writing all of these characters, you can't help but have a little bit of yourself infused into those characters. And it can get to where it just feels like one person speaking all the time, even if you've got different people acting. So you have to be really careful and make sure you write in the voice of each character, which is what character development, even outside of the show, what audiences don't see, know who your characters are, is my recommendation. But, you know, the I just mean in terms of, like, getting your actors to bring their own interpretation, you want to direct them so they know kind of the idea of what, you know, the scenario in which, especially if you're recording the lines outside of the other actors, you know, you're recording them individually, make sure they know what the scenario is and how the other actors are going to be presenting their lines. But you do want them to infuse as much of themselves into the character as they can. It just brings a more lively story if they can interpret the lines their way. It gives new voices to an audio drama that hopefully, if it has many characters in it, has many different voices, even if it has one writer.
When the recording is finished, it's finally time to finalize the audio drama. Post-production is difficult, but rewarding, according to Austin Peachy. Let's hear from Dave Arnold about post-production and creating sound effects.
Post-production is the process of adding sound effects to the recorded dialogue. So it's basically putting in the sound of, you know, the setting that you're in. So if you're outside, you'll have wind and you'll have traffic maybe, and you might have planes flying over, you might have dogs barking. So it's a background, it's an ambiance that you do. And then, you know, in addition to that, post-production would include doing Foley, so footsteps and body movements and specific sound effects, like, you know, holding dishes or writing something on a pencil, with a pencil on a pad of paper, or typing, or any number of things. It's basically adding sound to bring the, you know, the scene alive, to create, help create the pictures that are in the listener's mind, waiting in the listener's mind to come to life. And music is part of that as well. Choosing what kind of music you want to use, directing the musician to compose a certain way. You know, there's all kinds of things. Specific kinds of effects can create different emotions. And it just takes a lot of thought and finding the right things to layer in to a show to make it come alive that way, and to give it emotion and energy and to bring the pictures to life.
What do you do when doing post-production for an audio drama? A lot. Probably too much. You have to edit all the tracks together, make sure they all sound good and right, and you listen to the voice track edit, and then you start putting, like, sound effects. You put in, like, plugins and sound effects, like, effects on that affect the voices and stuff, but then also sound effects in terms of, like, noises behind and action noises and stuff. And then you do Foley, which is human movements and things that are unique to that scene that you can't just pick up in a sound effects library. And then you do ambient sounds. That's noises like birds chirping if you're outside, or, you know, the the reverb of the room, and you hear like a refrigerator maybe in the background because you're in a kitchen, people talking in the background, things like that. And then, you know, of course you have the music that you can do that can enhance what's being said and the emotion of the scenario. So a lot, and all of that has to mix together in a way that makes it feel like it's natural, that nothing's overpowering the other stuff, and it doesn't sound like everybody's in a studio or in their living room recording their lines.
It's probably the most challenging, but it's probably also the most rewarding aspect of making audio drama. A lot of that is taking the tracks, the vocal tracks from the actors. You want to cut those down, get the best takes you can, and you'll want to arrange them and, you know, set them up chronologically. So this line comes first, this line comes second. You don't have to be as focused on the space in between them right away, because later on when you're adding music and sound effects, things are going to change. Once you do that, you can either do EQs on the voices. So if a person is supposed to sound like he's outside or inside, like if he's in a cave, if he's in a car, you'll want to EQ the voices for that. Before or after that, you'll also be adding sound effects. You can add ambiance, like birds singing, a train going by. That if that's outside, maybe inside, maybe a fire crackling, and you know, maybe some wind howling outside. And then Foley, which is more like movement, so like cloth rustle, like if somebody's putting on a jacket, footsteps, taking a sip of water, things like that. And usually music is the last thing you add, but you do want to know what the music is going to be like before you edit everything. A lot of times in scripts, they'll say scene ends, music fades out, music gets intense here, music gets softer, that kind of stuff. Sometimes that'll be in the script, I think, and sometimes it'll just be given to the composer. And then once you mix all those together, I believe you'll also want to like master it. I'm not too familiar with a lot of that kind of stuff, but a lot of times you want to make sure like all audio is the loudest it can be without peaking or getting too loud, making sure everything fits together.
If you've ever taken part in doing sound effects, what sounds do you record specifically for the situation, and which ones do you get from a sound effects library?
You know, Noah, it just really depends on the script. You know, if you're doing a historical adventure, sometimes it's very difficult to find the kinds of things that you need because, you know, they've never been recorded and put on a sound effects library. If it's on a sound effects library, 9 times out of 10, we'll use that. If it's not, then we'll create it. Or if there is a scene that is being driven by sound effects that you almost have to act out, well, not even almost, you actually do have to act out. Acting it out in the context of what you're doing, it ties it into the voice tracks. It supplements the voice tracks and makes it feel like, you know, the actor's physically doing these things too. If you're a good Foley artist, those are the things that you want to do. So, for example, if you're doing something in a car, well, we could certainly have sound effects off of a library that, you know, and we do have car starting up and we have cars, you know, driving down the road and various things. But if there's things you're doing inside the car, again, to tie it to what the actor is doing with their voice, we'll do that, you know, we'll do that with Foley instead of taking it off of a sound effects library. And then when you've got to create really unusual, strange things, sometimes you'll use part of both. You might do some sound effect library stuff, and then you might create some stuff yourself. Back when I started doing Adventures in Odyssey in 1987, 33 years ago now, there weren't very many sound effects libraries, so a lot of the stuff I had to do was creating it myself in the studio. And at the time, we were in Southern California, L.A., where it's hot, you know, year-round for the most part, or at least warm. It never snows there. And yet I had to do a a skiing show. And there were, at that time, there were no libraries, sound effects libraries, with skiing or, you know, snow sound effects or those kinds of things. And so I had to create it. And so I, you know, I actually got a cheese grater and a whole bunch of ice cubes, and I just did that and laid a bunch of snow in the Foley room, and I borrowed some skis from somebody, and I made all those sounds of doing it. When we did the Chronicles of Narnia for Radio Theater, we actually used different, you know, Foley tricks like cornstarch. We put cornstarch all over the Foley room and breathed it into our lungs, and it was awful. But you know, when you walk on cornstarch, it actually sounds a lot like the crunching of snow and whatnot. So it really just depends on the tools that you have in the sound effects libraries, and it depends on the script you've got.
Well, I have very rarely recorded sound effects. I think in all my audiodramas, I've used canned sound effects or like from a sound effects library. And depending on the sound effects library, you can get stuff that can do almost everything that you want. However, there may be very specific sounds that you need, or a sound that you really want to sound a certain way, but you can't find it sounding like that. So you may want to record that yourself, or record something else that sounds like what your mind is thinking that it's going to sound like. A lot of the sound effects that a lot of people use will probably be in libraries, but you want to make sure that those sounds sound the same all the way through, because if you have a sound effect that sounds like it's from the 1960s versus one that was recorded today, you know, you don't want it to sound cartoonish. You don't want it to sound like it's canned. You know, a lot of people use that term, and you can tell some sound effects, they sound kind of fake, maybe, or they sound unrealistic, and you want to make things sound realistic, unless it's like a comedy or, you know, something like a cartoon. But you want to make sure that your sound effects and the ones that record sound similar to make sure that it sounds consistent.
I tend to lean towards doing a lot of sound effects library stuff because I don't enjoy doing Foley as much as I thought maybe I would. But some stuff you have to do. I'm actually personally pretty good at making sound effects work and manipulating them to make them feel like they're part of the scene. But, you know, if it's somebody walking or you know, most human action sounds you'll want to do Foley for, just so that they all sound like they're all in the same area. They're all in the same room. And then sound effects, you know, a computer, electronic sound, you know, a door slamming sometimes, you know, all that stuff. You just kind of have to use your discretion. And a lot of times it's easier to just do the sound effect than try to find through a sound effects library some specific sound that happens to match what you're doing.
Creating audio drama comes with its own unique challenges. Let's find out about some of the differences in the challenges of creating audio drama compared to other mediums like movies and books. What are the challenges in creating an audio drama compared to other mediums like movies or books?
There are challenges for each medium, but the challenges can also be the best aspects of that medium. So for audio drama, you want to paint pictures in people's minds without showing them any visual cues. They're not reading anything, they're not seeing anything, they're just hearing stuff. I'm not sure who it was that said this. I've heard some of the people in Adventures in Odyssey quote it before, I think. But your audience is blind, but you never want to make them feel that way. So the most important thing to do is to make sure that you're not force-feeding information to people on what the scene looks like. For example, you wouldn't have a character say, "Oh, look at the guy across the street in the gray jacket. He has a gun, and look at that, he has a scar on his cheek." People don't talk like that in real life. So you would say something like, "Hey, there's a guy over there looking at us." "Which guy?" "The guy in the gray jacket." "Man, that scar on his face looks really scary. Uh-oh, I think he has a gun too." Something like that. Or depending on the framing of the audio drama, you may have a narrator fill in some bits and pieces here and there. But that's probably the biggest challenge. Making sure that things sound natural, and you're still helping the audience see what's happening in their mind.
Well, in movies, obviously, you've got images that can convey emotion. You've got images that can show the setting. You've got images that can tell a story pictorially. Some of the most powerful scenes in movies are those scenes without words. And I think of, you know, of the movie Up, where the very, you know, the first 10 minutes is all a montage of scenes without any dialogue. And it's the most beautiful, powerful section I think I can remember of a movie ever listening to. So movies have that luxury. Books, of course, you can describe how characters feel. You can describe the setting that they're in. You can describe all kinds of things because you've got plenty of words to be able to do that. But with an audio drama, you can't do that. And so the dialogue has to create the pictures, has to create the setting, has to create the emotional hooks that an actor can use to convey their emotion, all without sounding expositional. It has to sound natural. And so that is a challenge, for sure.
Well, I think each media type is unique, certainly. There are things that are specific to movies, things that are specific to books, things that are specific to audio drama. One of the things that's most exciting to me about audio drama are the possibilities. Some people might look at audio as being limiting because you don't have a picture like you do with a movie. But in many ways, I think that's a huge asset because your audience members are involved in creating that picture for themselves. And so you could do something on an audio drama that would take an enormous budget to do with a film. It might even be impossible. So things like The Parting of the Red Sea, which we have done on Adventures in Odyssey, you could do that in a movie. There are certainly several movies that have, but in terms of creating it to be just so exciting and be everything that people imagine it to be, that's the realm of audio drama. I don't think films can hold a candle to the power of the imagination. And so that's probably one of the most unique things about radio drama. Getting a little more specific, something that's unique about radio drama seems to be mysteries. There's something about mysteries and thrillers that just work really well on radio drama. Certainly you can have a mystery in film, but there's just something special about audio drama that seems to really connect deeply with people when we're talking about mysteries.
You know, how your audience hears and understands and feels, but also just making sure that if you are recording all in one place, then making sure people aren't talking over each other, making sure you have a good sounding room, where if you're doing a film, there's a little more forgiveness on the audio. Not a lot, but a little bit, especially if it's a low budget film. But everything has to sound good if you're doing an audio drama, because that's all people hear. And doing sound effects and doing music, you can't have all of those things on top of each other. You want all of those things to enhance each other. But remember, people only have two ears and one mouth. So you should listen more than you should talk, and you should listen to audio dramas.
The creation process of audio drama starts with the creation of a script, continues to the recording and directing of the actors, and finishes with choosing sound effects and performing post-production. Though there are a few major differences between writing for audio and writing for video or for a book, the common denominator between all storytelling mediums is simply a good story. Writing for audio drama comes with its differences and challenges, allowing the writer no narration and requiring the writer to incorporate all necessary information in the dialogue and through the use of sound effects. Excellent direction helps the actors convey what the writer of the script wanted to come through. Recording is the next step of the process of creating an audio drama, and often custom Foley needs to be recorded as well as the actor's dialogue. Post-production comes in second, after writing, for the longest part of the production of an audio drama. It is broken into three main sections. First, the best takes of the dialogue are lined up for proper pacing. Next, effects are applied on the voice tracks, and all other sounds, such as sound effects, foley, and music, are added. Lastly, the fine edit takes care to make sure that any mistakes from previous processes are fixed, and the radio drama is shortened to fit the broadcast length. Audio drama can be an extremely powerful medium that can be used to tell stories in a much better way than any other current medium can. When combined and done well by passionate creators, using the listener's imagination along with the writer's imagination to mesh together the perfect platform from which to tell a story, all of these processes lead to the production of a superb audio drama that can bring enjoyment to the public. How Audio Dramas Are Made, the audio documentary about the creation of audio dramas, was edited and hosted by yours truly, Noah. Much gratitude to Dave Arnold, Nathan Hubler, Austin Peachy, and Kevin McCreary for answering my many questions. This has been a production of Adventures in Opinions. You can read my written research paper on audio dramas, as well as many more posts about audio dramas, at aiopinions.home.blog.